of Jewish women. This is the Pittsburgh chapter, National Council of Jewish Women, interviewing Corinne Krauss. And the interviewers are Ruth Saul and Marcy Schwartz. This is August the 5th, 1997.
We still have to go to where you work. Are you just does that? No, she just told me to tell about my family that. Okay. We just covered it. All right. I was born in Pittsburgh in 1927. My parents had, my father was an immigrant who came with his parents from Russia, whether Latvia or Lithuania, I can't quite get straight from my various aunts and uncles. But my grandfather, whose name was Max Azen, came to Pittsburgh in 1906 with a wife, his second wife, eight children, and his mother-in-law. He had been a manufacturer of fur caps in Russia. And the only story we could tell for his reasons for coming, his children were small. I don't think he was particularly worried about the Russian army at the time. He himself hated the humiliation of having to sleep in people's barns or outhouses when he went to the big cities to sell his caps. Of course, he lived in the Pale of Settlement, but he went to St. Petersburg and Moscow on business. And he did fairly well because they did not come in steerage, and he did bring 10 people with him. There was a party of 11, the parents, the grandmother, and eight children. They came to Pittsburgh because my grandmother had another, a brother living here, and his name was Jacobson, and he was already in the picture frame business.
And would you mind spelling that name?
Jacobson,
no.
J-A-C-O-B-S-O-N. And my grandfather's name was Azen, A-Z-E-N. And so they settled in Pittsburgh, where they had four more children, over 12 children. The first one, my Aunt Becky Harris, was the child of my grandfather's first marriage, and evidently that wife died, perhaps when Becky was born. We never really knew her cause of death. He soon married my grandmother, who had 11 children.
What was her maiden name?
Jacobson.
Oh, okay.
And her first name?
Bessie. And my grandfather made a living first, I guess, peddled for a while, and then he opened a store very soon after that on Fifth Avenue. The family lived either in back or upstairs from the store, and soon moved to the Bluff. In about 1918 or 19, maybe 1916, I don't know, they moved to 708 North Negley Avenue, where they lived until all the children were married. And it was, I only knew them in their Squirrel Hill house, but they moved to Squirrel Hill to 5535 Beacon Street, where they lived until they died. And they were very active. My grandfather was very active, first when he lived downtown in Beis HaMedrash HaGadol, and then he was, as soon as they moved to East Liberty, he became very active in B'nai Israel. And he was the building chairman for the building that now stands empty. He was, you know, worked with Mrs. Davis and that Lit Rock crowd that were very active in setting up at B'nai Israel in the East Liberty community in East Liberty. My father graduated from Shenley High School and went to work in his father's store, which by then was downtown. And my mother had an entirely different background. She was born in New York City. Her parents were both immigrants from Romania, but had come quite a bit earlier. My grandmother came to the United States, to New York City, in about 1992 when she was 12 years old. This is my grandmother, my mother's mother.
You don't mean 1892.
1892. Excuse me, you're right. 1892. She was 12. She went to work in a tie factory. She went to night school. She learned to speak English perfectly. She loved everything American. Everything American. Her family was not religious. Her grandmother. My grandmother's mother was the only one who was religious in the family. And my mother grew up in a home with, and her father was an immigrant from Romania. A couple of years later, they came from the same town in Romania and married here. My mother was born in 1900. And she had one sister, and her parents and her grandmother all lived in the same house. They started in the Lower East Side, they moved to Harlem, and then when she was 13, the firm for which my grandfather worked moved to Montreal because labor costs were cheaper, and the family migrated to Montreal, where my mother went to high school and played basketball and did all the things that an English education provided. She was the only, American girls weren't doing gymnastics and basketball and sleighing, and she was, and horseback riding, she was doing all of those things. My grandmother had a cousin in Pittsburgh whose name was Clara Samuel. She was married to Sam Samuel, who was in the real estate business and still is the family, the name is still part of the agency that manages a lot of rental property in Squirrel Hill. At any rate, the woman that I called Aunt Clara, who was...
That's not... She can stop the tape.
The woman that I called Aunt Clara wrote to my grandmother, whose maiden name was Tilly Ornstein, and then she became Tilly Lewis. My grandfather's name was Joseph Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Nobody knows what it was before that. At any rate, Aunt Clara wrote to my grandmother saying that her daughter, Ethel, was going to college in Middlebury. She knew that was not terribly far from Montreal. My grandmother wrote back that Ethel had to come to visit, and she did. She and my mother became very good friends. So mother, the following year, returned the visit, and while visiting Ethel, she met my father, which led to her moving to Pittsburgh. They're getting married, and that's...
Middlebury was...
In Vermont.
Vermont.
Middlebury College is in Vermont. Almost the northern border where it meets Canada. So that's my family background. And my father was in business with his father until the early 30s. During the Depression, my grandfather called him into his office and told him that he wanted him to go out with one of the younger brothers and open another store because the business couldn't support the whole family anymore. So he opened Maxine's and operated Maxine's for many years. Then my mother and father started their married life on Windsor Street in Squirrel Hill. When she was pregnant, they moved to Shady Avenue, and I was born at West Penn Hospital, but we lived on Shady Avenue in Party Wall House near Monitor. Then my brother was born. We moved to Forward Avenue, right next door to the Alderdice Field across from St. Philomena's. Lived there till I was 8. My mother's sister was born. We moved to Bell Rock Place, where we lived until, where they lived until all the children were married. And then we moved to the Carlton's.
Tell us what you, in your childhood and as you grew up, were you involved with religious training, with anything with the Jewish community that you can remember?
Well, I went to Road of Sholem Sunday School. And we were Jewish, but it wasn't a big deal. I mean, we didn't. My father came from a very religious family. And we did not keep kosher, but we did never have ham or bacon or, you know, it's a Jewish home, but a very, I would say, sort of on the borderline between conservative and reform.
Did you become a bar mitzvah, a bar mitzvah?
No.
You didn't. The Road of Sholem at that time?
Road of Sholem had nothing to do with it. My parents belonged to Beth Sholem, and that's where they went for services. We were always a two-congregation family. My brother was bar mitzvah at Beth Sholem, but it was never a thought given to. I was old. You realize I'm old. Girls' bar mitzvahs weren't very common in 1940.
I'm sorry. Your father's name?
Lewis. Lewis Azen, and my mother's name was Martha.
Was it spelled
Louis Azen?
Can you describe life in the city as you were growing up, politically, culturally?
No.
It was not important to you during your school
days? The only
thing
important to me was school, and that's really all I remember. And I remember family, you know, visiting.
In your adolescent years, where did you go to high school?
I went to Alderdice.
Can you describe the kind of recreational and social life that there was at the time for you and for others of your age?
Can't talk about others. I had a very good time. Actually, when I was younger, I loved going to the library. And when you were asking about religious things, my recreation was going to the library and going to Saturday afternoon movies. I also took elocution lessons and piano lessons. And my friend Sylvia Roth and I used to go to Road of Sholem, the Sunday school, or Saturday school. Then we would walk home, have a half a sandwich. We always were sharing lunches. And then we would walk to our lesson, and we'd walk past the mansion that is now the offices of Temple Sinai. And that was a very old mansion, very
on Forbes
dark
Street.
On Ford, the corner of Forbes and Murdoch. And as we walked up Murdoch to our lesson, which was on Galena Road, we used to make up horror stories about that haunted house. And that's how we entertained ourselves on the way to our elocution lessons.
After high school, can you tell us about your college days? Where did you go?
I went to the University of Michigan. Had a wonderful 4 years, just wonderful. I did all kinds of things, particularly, I guess, my most the largest scope activity was that I was the local advertising manager with the Michigan Daily, and I worked very hard. I loved doing that. I used to ride around on a bicycle selling advertising space, and then I had to make up the ads. And of course, I'm not artistic at all. But we had, you know, a nice, I don't remember what they call it, file of graphics. No computer, but the graphics were there. And I would write the ads, particularly for one big lady store. I was always so proud of those. And I wrote a column every week, like Shopping with Polly in the Post-Gazette. Well, we had a column in the Michigan Daily about shopping, which was always something I enjoyed doing. Yes.
Were there any particular professors that influenced you or that you were particularly...
Well, yes, I have to go back because I was always interested in history. My mother used to take us to Montreal. I just couldn't get enough. And I remember when I was 12, we were there and then we went to the city of Quebec and to a resort near Quebec, and I made a wonderful scrapbook with every, you know, recording everything that I saw and did. And particularly, I was fascinated with the Indian culture, the totems and the artifacts that I saw in Quebec. And also, then that was, I was 12, when I was in eighth grade, so it was a couple of years later, and I didn't, this is something I don't remember, it just happens that I found a paper in my mother's thing, among my mother's things when she died, and it was the paper that I wrote about the Aztecs and the Mayas and their exploitation by the Spaniards. I wrote in eighth grade and I had an A+ on it, so, which is probably why my mother saved it. But what was interesting is by the time I found it, I already had a PhD in Latin American history, and Mexico was my specialty. And I didn't remember at all when I was doing all my research in Mexico that that had been a long time interest.
When you say you did your research on Mexico, what made you pick Mexico?
I'm trying to tell you, I always had an interest in the underdog. And I think I always felt very strongly during, you know, I said I didn't have any feelings when I was growing up. When I was a little child, I remember feeling very strongly when Hitler came to power and listening to my parents talk about it. And I remember when the war started in 1939, not when we got into it, I was older then, but I was just thrilled, now they're going to get Hitler. So that my consciousness of Hitler and what he was doing to the Jews was very strong, even as a little child, probably because my parents were.
I was going to suggest that, was it the influence of the Jewish heritage that made you aware
sure.
of this?
Oh, certainly. The Jewish heritage has been, it's just a part of me, but it has nothing to do with practicing ritual.
I understand that. Now, also, if you were involved with the Canadian people, the Canadian Indians also have a history of being subjugated.
Well, exactly. And I was fascinated from the beginning. When I was at Michigan, my third year, so it's long before graduate school.
Now,
your third year of Michigan.
Oh, during my third year at the University of Michigan, I was in an honors program, and part of the obligation, as a matter of fact, I was too scared to be in the honors program. I didn't think I was smart enough. However, I had had the opportunity to be in it and refused it. However, I was able to take courses that were offered, and one of them was a graduate course in intellectual history. Well, I was a little nervous to take it, but I was fascinated with it, and our assignment was to write a book review on a book that explored phenomenon that developed during period, the Middle Ages, and talk about Jewish heritage, I just drifted right to a book on the history of anti-Semitism. It was written by a British scholar, and I really didn't know where to start, so I wrote to Dr. Freehoff, and he was, you know, at that time I thought he was so wonderful to answer me with all kinds of wonderful information and auxiliary reading lists, but of course he was thrilled because that scholarship was his chief interest, and he was so delighted that one of his confirmants was interested. So that was my first research paper, and it was quite fascinating to do it. And what else at Michigan? Just normal, wonderful social life, wonderful friends. Belonged to the Sigma Delta Tau sorority and enjoyed that very much. It had just been, the chapter at Michigan had just started, and it was a very nice experience, and all of our parents were cooperated by helping us to furnish the house, and it made it very special. And during that period, I met my husband on a vacation, and at that time, what does a girl do when she felt, a girl like me from a traditional family, do when she finished college? Is get married. So, and all the young men were coming back from World War II at this time, so the girls were extremely popular. I mean, you could have a date with somebody different every night of the week. And I pretty much did when I was at home. And
yeah, you haven't told us your husband's name.
Oh, my husband's name is Seymour Krauss. And he was a young doctor who had served in the Army Air Force and was home and just starting his residency. And his sister-in-law, he liked a girl in Baltimore, but his sister-in-law very much wanted him to stay in Pittsburgh. And so, at any rate, she and a couple of other women, that was Belle Krauss, and she and Belle Shook, and got together and decided that Seymour Krauss should call Corrine Azen. And he did. And we liked each other from the beginning, and that was in Easter vacation, I guess, April. And we were engaged by the middle of July.
Was he through with his schooling by then?
Oh, yes, he had been in school, he had been an intern, he had been in the Army Air Force, and now he was starting residency.
Did he do his residency in Pittsburgh?
Yes, and then, well, we were married, and the day after my college diploma was dated February 7th, 1948, and we were married February 8th, 1948.
Did you have a family soon after that, or
well, I taught.
Did you go
I
on?
Taught for a few. I know. We went to Chicago where he had a fellowship in cardiology, and I taught in a school for emotionally disturbed children, which was a very maturing experience. Very interesting.
And that was the beginning of that kind of exploring of special students.
Special needs, I guess.
Special needs. Mm-hmm. That was just the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Did you have professors at that time who were very...
I was finished with school.
You were finished.
I didn't study that in school. I majored in economics.
That's also a good bet.
Yeah.
Then when you started doing this special ed,
that was just because
thing.
It was the kind of job that I could get.
I see. And did they give you extra learning experiences in order to do this?
No, not at all.
Schools didn't provide that.
Not
for
at all.
You.
It was a small private school.
When did you start your family?
Well, I became pregnant while we were living in Chicago, and my oldest child was born in 1950. And then I had a daughter in 1950, a son in 1952, a daughter in 1956, and a daughter in 1960.
Would you like to tell us about them?
I'll tell you their names. Barbara is the oldest, and Barbara is a lawyer, and she just got married. She was married in 1977 and divorced shortly after, no children. She just remarried a very, very nice young man, very nice. Norman, my son, is an orthopedic surgeon, and he's married to a wonderful woman, and they have three children whose names are Spencer, Martha, and Mason. Martha and Mason are twins.
Do they live here
in
Pittsburgh?
They live on Northumberland Street in Pittsburgh.
Does your older
and
daughter...
Barbara just moved. Barbara lived out of town from 1968 until 1996 when she moved back to Pittsburgh, taking a job here with Bayer. And Kathy, my second daughter, third child, lives in Pittsburgh at the Stacy House. And Kathy has, 20 years ago, showed the first signs of a very serious and persistent mental illness. And she had a very, very tough time, very, very hard life, in and out of hospitals, having to leave Pittsburgh to go to a private hospital in Baltimore, in and out of halfway houses and hospitals in Baltimore, and back to Pittsburgh in 1992.
Would you like to tell us how you have become involved?
Well, this is how I became involved. Oh, I did things in Pittsburgh from the time we came back from Chicago. I was very active in Ladies Hospital Aid Society when I had just two little children. I was the membership chairman for hospital aid. It was about 1955 or 56. And I had lots of pictures of all the various ladies' hospital aid balls. Seymour was on the Montefiore staff. I mean, he had done his residency there. We were very involved. And I got very bored with it. And by the time Kathy, my third child, was two, I started looking for a job. I got a job teaching kindergarten without any help. At any rate, I started to teach kindergarten in the fall of 57 or 58. Oh, fall of 1958. Kathy was two and a half. And I taught a half-day kindergarten. And the year after that, I went back to school to get a teaching certificate. I also became pregnant with my fourth child. And by the time she was born, I was well into teaching. I started out substituting and got the certification. And then by 1962, Ted, you asked about influential professors. One of the very influential ones was Ted Fenton at Carnegie Mellon University. F-E-N-T-O-N. And he was an outstanding teacher.
This is the University of Pittsburgh, you said?
Carnegie Mellon. It wasn't Carnegie Mellon then, it was Carnegie Tech. This was at the time when the schools were overcrowded with baby boomers. And he had the idea that quality education was possible if he could recruit some able women who could work a half a day, even though they were not free to work full time. And he started the graduate program at Carnegie Mellon. Which was Carnegie Tech. And I was thrilled to be part of that. It was just excellent. And he did all our training in teaching social studies, history and social studies. And then I went on to work toward my master's in history. And I taught, he had placed us. I taught half a day at Shenley High School in 1963, 64, and then the following year at Alderdice. At which time I decided that I would, I didn't have my master's yet. I had all this certification. Decided to get my master's. I had been taking one course at a time, but that seemed ridiculous, so I said, no more teaching till I get it, and I quit. And went full-time to Carnegie Mellon and got my master's in history. at which time they asked me to teach part-time there, and I've taught part-time at Carnegie Mellon until 1971. And I loved that. I loved teaching there. Then I went on for my PhD at Pitt.
I was aware of your being at Pitt. I didn't realize that you're at a...
That I got my master's at Carnegie, and I taught at Carnegie. Most of my teaching was there. My college teaching was there.
Before we get into other things professionally, can you tell us something about the kind of things you did with your family as far as vacations, hobbies, any recreational?
We used to go away every summer for a summer vacation. Bemis Point was first. Bemis Point on Lake Chautauqua. It's B-E-M-U-S. P-O-I-N-T. On Lake Chautauqua. And then we went to Beach Haven for many years, even while the older two children were at camp.
Oh, my turn is so not stoked.